as the ladies mentioned, we are sort of celebrating this evening the arrival in the house of Madan Bai. Is Madan Bai?
He's cooking, okay.
His constitutional position. Madan Bai, Rasamrita Mataji, and Jivani Devaki. Srimad Bhagavatam, there you can see it. It's 18 volumes, but, well, look, see, it's on two levels there, on two shelves. Would you believe this is one book? Did you ever read a book like that? See a book like that? That's quite a book. A really major book. Yes, so Srimad Bhagavatam, which the ladies so nicely, are they drama and speech and all that sort of thing? I thought so, yeah. They so eloquently and with such sort of, what would you say, aplomb, would that be appropriate? Yeah, such nice presence presented. So we then will we'll read a verse from the same Srimad Bhagavatam. Just here it is. Okay. First of all, a prayer. You can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Right, so we will read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, there are 12, Canto 1, Chapter 3, which is titled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. And we will read verse 43, which is basically explaining or giving some insight into what is this literature, what's it about, and what does it address. So first of all, I'll read the verse in Sanskrit. Krishne swadamo pagate dharmagyana dibi saha kalo nashta drisham esha pura narko dunodita. Translation. This Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. That's the type of book it is in terms of Vedic terminologies. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so let's have a look here. Srila Prabhupada has given a fairly substantial purport. Let me read a bit of it. Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Krishna has his eternal dham, or abode, where he eternally enjoys himself, with his eternal associates and paraphernalia. And his eternal abode is a manifestation of his internal energy, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his external energy. When he descends on the material world, he displays himself with all paraphernalia in his internal potency, which is called Atma Maya. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he descends by his own potency, Atma Maya. His form, name, fame, paraphernalia, abode, etc., are not, therefore, creations of matter. He descends to reclaim the fallen souls and to reestablish codes of religion which are directly enacted by him. Except for God, no one can establish the principles of religion. Either he or a suitable person empowered by him can dictate the codes of religion. Real religion means to know God, our relation with him, and our duties in relation with him, and to know ultimately our destination after leaving this material body. The conditioned souls who are entrapped by the material energy hardly know all these principles of life. Most of them are, brace yourselves, fasten your seatbelts. Most of them are like animals. Hare Krishna. Most of them are like animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. They're mostly engaged in sense enjoyment under the pretension of religiosity, knowledge, or salvation. They are still more blind in the present age of quarrel or Kali Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the population is... You still have your seatbelts fastened? Okay. Where is it now? Yes. In the Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal edition of the animals. Haribol. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the needs of the body. They have no information of the spirit soul beyond the jurisdiction of the subtle mind, intelligence, or ego, but they're very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science, and material prosperity. There's more. There's quite a bit more, actually. But anyway, I think you sort of get the message, get the idea. Srila Prabhupada is not impressed by modern-day society. I wonder what he would think. What do you think he would think about who? Mr. Trump. Say no more. Don't tell him I said that. He'll send out a Twitter message against me. All right. Okay, anyway, let me just repeat the verse. Krishne swadamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalo nashta drisham esha pura narko dunodita. This Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's say a few words about this verse and about Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, a couple of prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivadi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastritya Deshtarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Is there a build-up of people just around the corner? Not really? Okay. If a build-up happens, you could all move closer, it would be a good idea, but at the moment it's fine. Okay, so this verse is, or particularly the purport, a couple of pieces, as you recall, is quite on the sort of dramatic side, very vivid, in talking about the situation in this current day and age. And, you know, actually when Srila Prabhupada wrote this is the first canto, means he wrote it, it was like, I don't know, 1960 something. So it's like 50 years ago, something like that, perhaps slightly more. Srila Prabhupada wrote this, and he's commenting on the situation at that time. But now, as far as we can see, particularly in the Western world, things have deteriorated further. Things have deteriorated further. It's really quite something. So, but even at that time, 50 or so years ago, Prabhupada was speaking so strongly that the people in general, the way they are living, Haribol. Confirmation. The way they are living, their sort of priorities in life, their interests in life, they're really not so impressive. You would have noted, no doubt at all, you would have noted that Prabhupada said that in so many cases the modern person in the street is sort of like a glorified animal. Or he said a royal edition of the animals. What does he mean by that? We should try and understand what he means. Is that the animals, what are the animals doing actually? I mean, you can just watch them and try and analyze a bit. What are they doing? There are generally four main categories, types of activities that the animals are involved in: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. If you look around, you'll see that in animal society, so to speak, there's just a lot of that going on. There's just a lot. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. When I was young, believe it or not, I was young once. Sure. That was a while ago. And, yeah. When I was young, we had dogs. We had two boxers, pedigree boxers, if you know what I mean. Pedigree dogs, they were like, you know, expensive, at least the mother was, mother and daughter. And their names, you know what their names were? How's this for imaginative? Brownie and Deaky. Everyone has their past, so don't hold it against me too much. And Brownie and Deaky, you know. We taught them how to sit. We trained them a bit. Yeah. Offer them food, but don't give it to them unless they sit. So after a while they got it, and they would just sit. Yeah. But when they were not eating, you know, the main thing they did was sleep. I couldn't believe it. How much these dogs sleep. It's incredible. They'd immediately just lie down and sleep. Anyway, I did say that have a look and see. Just observe a bit the lifestyle of the animals. Just do that and try and analyze a bit. And you'll see. Of course, it varies from species to species. Like cows, sheep also. But cows, they, if you watch the cows, what do you see? They are practically eating the whole day. They really just, it's just all they practically do. Anyway, it depends on the species, but the basic program, if you analyze, you'll see it's pretty obvious if you care to look and try and understand. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's what they do. And human beings, again, if you analyze, then you'll see that at least to a very large degree, the human beings are doing the same things. We, of course, human beings work. But why do we work? To get money so we can eat and sleep, you know, in a nice house, and raise a family means mating, and it's sort of, you know, what comes from mating, and defending our situation. Just look at Mr. Trump, how defensive he is. America for the Americans, and boot everybody else out, and build a wall, you know, keep them out. You know, I assume you're following the news. If you want to get depressed, follow the news, particularly nowadays. So, of course, human beings, we also have culture. Culture, singing, dancing, literature, drama, there's all different facets, types of cultural activities. But a lot of it, if you analyze, you'll see a lot of it's to do with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. When I was young, again, there was pop music. I sort of evolved. I started becoming a teenager at the time when Elvis Presley was on the way out. Have you ever heard of him? Have you heard of him? And the Beatles were just coming in. And I remember the Beatles so well. First song of the Beatles, Top of the Pops, completely the top. I Want to Hold Your Hand. Second one, She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. know, actually, I still remember all those songs. And then came the Rolling Stones. Well, at least one of their songs was a little more intelligent. I can't get no satisfaction. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. That's what it says. So, you know, if you look at the culture, if you look at the culture, you'll see a lot of it is just to do, a lot of it's to do with mating, actually. Man meets woman, woman meets man, man loses woman, you know, woman runs off with another man. Of course, nowadays, with respect, but it's just a fact, man meets man, and, you know, so on. Oh, well, these things are going on. So really a lot of it is to do with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You know, there's some areas of culture, like philosophy, if you consider that to be part of culture, which may sometimes go beyond just dealing with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But, you know, philosophy is not a popular subject. It's not something which lots of people are into, because it's just too much for their brains. And they would rather just have the simple stuff: eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Of course, we have, you know, for eating, we have a whole industrial situation, massive industry. But to achieve the same end of being able to eat, for sleeping, we have nice houses, beds, matching sheets and pillowcases. Do you think they make you sleep better if they're matching as opposed to not matching? And then mating. Well, you know, mating is such a massive operation. Fashion. What is fashion? Fashion is essentially how to attract the opposite sex. Cosmetics, entertainment industry. Oh well. And then so same thing, but just done in very sophisticated ways compared to the animals. It is so much more sophisticated. But as they say, when you're asleep, you're asleep. And it doesn't really matter where you are. And the animal sleeps on the ground. And when the animal's asleep, the animal's asleep. And the animal's as asleep as you are in your bed with matching sheets. And, you know, Edblow, is it Edblow mattress? Anyway, nice mattress in the nice house. You follow. So that's why Srila Prabhupada's making this point in the purport, which we read. He made it a couple of times. Oh, I said, yeah, if more people come, why don't we, or at least, you know, whoever can, move forward? You can come. Yeah, it's okay. Come. I will not bite you. I am vegetarian. And I just had some quite nice halava. So that's really the state of affairs today, that people are just involved in these animalistic activities, defending, well, you know, Mr. Trump and his wall to defend guns and bombs. Animals just have teeth and claws. But it's, the idea is the same, how to defend. because you are sort of imposing yourself on us, so we must defend against you. So that's what's going on to a very large extent in life in general. And our educational system and the teachers amongst us, don't take this too badly, but in the educational system, at least particularly when you go to university, it is all geared towards preparing you for an occupation so you can earn money to eat and have a house to sleep and, you know, afford to maintain a family, mating, and have a good security system or whatever, keep the police force going, defense. So this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And therefore, the verse says, people in this age, they've lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance. It means their sort of deeper vision, their ability to think with some incisiveness or insightfulness, to see a little deeper what is really going on or what is really not going on, and to understand what should be going on and how to get it going on. These types of things, people are not really thinking like that. Not really thinking, and that people are really not thinking like that. But they are basically thinking how to survive. And not, at least, you know, sort of middle class people, it's not so much how to survive, but how to try to improve the standard of living, instead of having a, what would that be, a 50 centimeter television, we will get an 84 inch or whatever it may be. And in that way, we are improving our lives. Yeah. So, but the Srimad Bhagavatam is different as a literature. As a literature. And it's so different. The verse itself says, it is as brilliant as the sun. You know what that's like? Now it's darkness. And, you know, when it is the dark moon or the new moon in the middle of the lunar month, when the moon basically practically disappears, then you go out, and if there's no street lights, you're just in total darkness. You may not even be able to see yourself. So, but you compare that to the sun, midday sun. Oh, you can see the whole world around you, and you can see yourself. So the Bhagavatam uses this type of imagery. It's as brilliant as the sun. Because when the sun rises, particularly when the sun is there at its peak, then you can see the sun, you can see the world around you, and you can see you. Three things. So, using the same type of analogy, same type of idea, when the sun of Krishna, God, rises in your life, then you can see him. But because of his influence, you can see the world in relation to him. And you can see you as you are. in relation to Him. And then when you're in that type of position, then you can do something really constructive about your life. Otherwise, it's just more or less, or at least to a very large degree, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in different ways, at different times, with different people, yeah, under different circumstances. And that's not really for a human being. It's not, you could say, it's not a very honorable way to live. It's not, we expect better, even we deserve better, actually. But we're sort of cheating ourselves. We're limiting ourselves by restricting our consciousness, our thinking, and based on our thinking, our life's activities, to just simple physical maintenance and improving our physical situation individually and collectively. That's really what we're doing. So a literature like Srimad Bhagavatam is very valuable, because it very specifically, very pointedly, in an extremely focused way, it is clarifying and bringing out in understandable language, bringing out who is God, what is God, so we can be conscious of Him. What is this world, so we can understand it for what it is and learn how to deal with it? And who are we? Who are we, what are we, and what we are not? All these things can be understood. Then you can live a truly progressive and productive and valuable life of actually developing yourself as you really are. It's interesting, Prabhupada in the purport refers to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is kind of, to some degree, not entirely, but in certain respects at least, it's like the preliminary step before Srimad Bhagavatam. At least it's introducing the basic concepts which are elaborated on very elaborately in Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Bhagavad Gita, the first thing that Krishna discusses, the very first thing, now Krishna is God. What would you expect Him to begin His discussion with? Maybe just talking about Himself. But He doesn't. Krishna begins by talking about us. Who we are, what we are, and what we are not. That we're all eternal spiritual persons. These bodies are like vehicles. But, and we're sort of like the drivers in the vehicles. But the driver is not the vehicle. In material life, day-to-day life, people think they are their bodies. I am a man. I am a white man, a Vito, from New Zealand, the All Blacks, better than the Springboks. Anyway, you know, once, quite some years ago, I was on the same plane from, I think, Germany or somewhere in Europe, as the Springboks. Yeah, we were all there in economy class. And I came in dressed as a Hare Krishna devotee. And, you know, they're taken a little aback, some of them. And I pulled out my South African passport. They appreciated it. Then I pulled out my I had two passports. My New Zealand passport, they became bewildered. So people tend to think like that. I am this body. You are your body. That's who we are. And because this is what we are, we should live for the betterment of our bodies. Because we are our bodies. What would you expect? If you are something, you should live for your betterment. So they tend to think like that. We are our bodies. Therefore, what should we do in life? We should try to acquire things, facilities, opportunities, and so on, for the satisfaction of the body. Which means, again, what? Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Yeah. And therefore, people are doing this. People are living like that. But it's based upon the assumption. It is just an assumption that I am this body. Therefore, I should live for the body. Yeah. But like we said, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first thing Krishna says is that we are not these bodies. The body is just a vehicle. We're like the driver. And we are eternal. These bodies are not eternal. When you're young, like you, how old are you? 12. I was 12 once. When you're 12, it seems like, you know, there's never going to be an end to it. It's just going to go on. You know how old I am? Take a guess. Take a guess. Very good. 65. Okay. Trying to flatter me by running. So when you're 65, then you know it's temporary. There's going to be an end. It's not going to be too long. So, yes. So like this, people have missed the point. Missed the point. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely valuable. And the way Srimad Bhagavatam is presented, it's very interesting. It's not just like philosophy, arguments, you know, raising different points, establishing them, defeating other points. You know, that's a bit heavy going. But it's all presented in the form of narrations of different events in the lives of different people who experienced the things that are in the philosophy. Like, just take as an example, reincarnation is a philosophical concept, and there are sort of arguments that can be made to sort of, if not prove, but at least, you know, like give some fairly substantial types of confirmations for reincarnation. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are a few different instances, a few different people in their lives who reincarnated. So in that way it's illustrated, like Maharaj Bharat, King Bharat. He reincarnated. Well, he was a king, actually, and he was a devotee. He was a good man. But late in his life, he went off to the forest, he renounced the world. And the idea was he was going out to the forest to focus his mind on God. But he got distracted by a deer, a baby deer. This baby deer, very sort of cute and, you know, friendly, nice little deer, befriended him and he became enamored by the deer. And he got into sort of deer consciousness. And he was always thinking, where is the deer? Is the deer all right? What is the deer doing? Deer, come here! It was just all day. That was his program, thinking about the deer. And so when he died, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talking about the soul, about us, as eternal spiritual persons, Krishna says whatever state of mind we're in, when the body dies, we will go into that state. Which kind of makes sense, really. You know, if you're studying at university, if you study, what are you studying?
Art.
Bachelor of Arts. What's your major?
English, media, and law.
And law?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, when you finish, you will go into something, English, media, and law, or something. Usually it works like that. If someone studies law, they become lawyers. If someone studies engineering, they become engineers. It's a continuum. So similarly, our state of consciousness, our being, there's also the sense of continuum. That it doesn't, like at university, it doesn't just finish when you qualify, then you walk out and okay, what's next? But there's a continuum. It goes on. So similarly, our lives go on. Our lives go on. Just as tomorrow morning, we will wake up. Yeah. No, we expect to wake up. One day we won't, but we'll wake up tomorrow. And what will tomorrow be? Will it be, hey, what shall I do today? No, it'll be continuation of what we've been doing today. Life is full of continuums. So even when the time of death comes, it's not the end. It's just another step in a continuum, which continues in the next lifetime. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is very valuable, extremely valuable. And actually it's extremely beautiful. Amazing, some of the personalities who were there in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are just, you know, of the very highest sort of quality as persons, character, amazing personalities. But Maharaj Bharat, what happened to him? He became fascinated by the deer. And he got into deer consciousness. And in his next life, he took birth as, take a guess, a deer. What do you expect? If you are, you know, working in a job today, tomorrow, you'll work in the same job. It's a continuum. So yeah, he was focused on the deer when he died. And his next life, he was born as a deer. So, okay, so we have Srimad Bhagavatam here. Aren't they beautiful? Look at them. They are really nice. And we will offer arti to them, offer respect to the books, because they're worthy of respect, because they add so much value to our lives. And when you've got Srimad Bhagavatam, Jivani Devaki, what do you do then? Yes. Then you read it from beginning to end. Oh, yeah. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for your association. And let's see. I guess, shall we just do the... does anyone have any comment, question, any point they'd like to raise? Or are you raising your hand, Willow, or just waving?
No.
Oh, yes.